Ladies and gentlemen, fellow slaves of the plantation, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. The only thing worse than the truth is Vinnie's jokes.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio for that listening pleasure you all have been craving, I'm sure. Speaking of craving, now, vaccinated versus unvaccinated. Mawson homeschooled study reveals who is sicker. I want to read out a few articles for you today, ladies and gentlemen, and break them down. Our guest may or may not turn up. I don't know what the score is there. In fact, I'll just check my Skype messages and make sure he's not. No, he's not. All right. We're going to be running a solo now. All right. Without, as they say in Israel, further ado. A new groundbreaking survey of hundreds of homeschooled American children found that, compared to the unvaccinated children, the vaccinated children had higher odds of developing the following conditions. Chronic illness, 2.4 times as likely. Eczema, 2.9 times as likely. What, neurodevelopmental disorder, 3.7. Autism, 4.2. ADHD, 4.2. Learning disabilities, 5.2. Allergic rhinitis, 30.1 times more likely. It's never been done before. The first of its kind study of vaccinated versus unvaccinated American homeschooled children shows who is really ailing and parents should be worried. Something is wrong with America's children. They are sick, allergic, asthmatic, anxious, autoimmune, autistic, hyperactive, distracted, and learning disabled. And there's quite a lot of reasons for that. Do these children have nutritious food to eat that can actually fuel their brain and immune system to fight off diseases, disorders, or clear their system out of heavy metals and toxins and things of that nature that they ingest or get put into the bloodstream, or not? Do they get educated in such a way that they are actually taught something of use? Or how often are they around a wireless signal when they're a child? You know, I see parents, you know, in my own family, you know, their own kids have got little cell phones and iPhones. Their skulls haven't even fully developed into adult thickness yet. And these things against their ears, and it's cooking their whole little brains, right? And that's just one of the many, many things that parents now face as a threat in this world. You know, it's almost like the survival rates have gone up, but the level of threat that you actually have to live with has gone up at the same time. It's just that it's always invisible, you know? Oh, I don't know why he got autism. Yeah. 32 million American children, a full 43% of them, suffer from at least one of 20 chronic illnesses, not including obesity. Across the board, once rare pediatric disorders from autism and ADD to type 1 diabetes and Tourette's syndrome are soaring, though few studies pull the data. And don't want to suggest that there's anything untoward going on there, but however, if you ever look at any of the statistics on this, the scale of the problem that you're dealing with the autism spectrum happened directly after they passed a law that created the vaccine courts. And what these ones do is, oh, if you've got a vaccine reaction, you have to go to the vaccine court. you can't sue the company who manufactured the vaccine that damaged your child directly. No, that would just result in them having to fork out for a heck of a lot of liability. No, instead we want to make it into a bureaucratic process so that the taxpayer, which you are, has to foot the bill for our product that damaged your child for life. You know, sounds like a good business decision, don't you think? And directly after that happened, autism spectrum disorder started skyrocketing. Like, the year after it happened, when the statistics, you know, you see it like 1 in 10,000 here since forever. And then 1 in 5,000. Well, that's like a doubling. And then like 1 in 180. And then now it's like, it's going to be like 1 in 2 by 2030. All right, 80% of the boys. If current trends continue, that's how big this outbreak is. And it's all by design. If you ever want to have a look at Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, the BBC version that was made in the 1960s, I think it was, where they're all running around in jumpsuits and everything. Very, very scary thing to watch, about how people have been literally, chemically created to such a level that they become unquestioning workers in society that doesn't care about them. You know, not entirely dissimilar to what's going on today. Because it was planned. Compared to their parents, children today are 4 times more likely to have a chronic illness, and while their grandparents might never have swallowed a pill as children, the current generation of kids is as pharmaceutical sales reps' dream come true. More than 1 million American children under 5 years old takes a psychiatric drug. Now, the problem with these psychiatric drugs is not only do they have really bad side effects, like if you take antidepressant medication because your girlfriend broke up with you, you know, and you're just in the, you're going through a normal life experience, you know, it's going to be tough, mate, but you'll get through this. But he takes the medication anyway and then hangs himself in the garage with a garden hose. And mum comes home and sees him. You feel that, ladies and gentlemen? You feel that right in your heart, right there? 16 years old, life right ahead of him? Gone forever. Because of these drugs, the terrible side effects that they actually do cause. And of course, once you're on one of these terrible drugs, you can virtually never get off them. You got to wean yourself off year after year after year, you know, decreasing it maybe like 1 milligram a month or something, just to make sure it's not too dangerous. They got you for life. You're a customer for life. That's why the pharmaceutical sales reps love you when you're going through traumatic times as a young person. Beautiful, isn't it? More than 8.3 million kids under 17 have consumed psychiatric drugs. And in any given month, 1 in 4 is taking at least one prescription drug for something. We're having our guts destroyed, isn't it? And, all of that stuff. Whew. Trying to get into the subject of diet and how important that is for managing stress. I should take my own advice, shouldn't I? Fast food, bad genes, too much TV, video games, pesticides, plastics. Name the environmental factor, and it has been implicated in the surge of sickness. Although none adequately explains the scale or scope of the epidemic, and that's true. It's a cumulative causation, but there's one main factor. There is one exposure, however, that has evaded the search. Despite that, children have received it by direct injection in steadily accumulating doses far beyond anything past generations ever saw. 50 doses of 14 vaccines by age 6. I will read that again, ladies and gentlemen. 50 doses of 14 vaccines by age 6. Oh my God. That makes me feel really, really sick. Imagine what it does to the children that are getting all these vaccines. 69 doses of 16 pharmaceutical vaccines containing powerfully immune-altering ingredients by age 18. Is this starting to like freak anybody out a little bit? Maybe perhaps. What's in these things? A live virus. You know, oh, I don't want to get infected by the virus. I'll inject it into my bloodstream. You see, right there is your problem. Just the logic is non-existent. It doesn't exist. Your brain washed. Okay, there is nothing more to say about it. You're brainwashed. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You didn't do it to yourself. You consented to it. And now you're allowing it to continue to control your behavior, which is your fault. But I forgive you. It's all right. Things are really, really bad right now. I understand. All of life is a dream. And most of the things that you've been working for in the existence that you've been here on this planet thus far has been lived as a lie and has accomplished nothing. So now, you can just swallow the truth up, take some personal responsibility for adjusting to it like an adult, and then accept the moral obligation to expose it and inform other people about it so that their kids don't get autism spectrum disorder directly after having a vaccine. Going from a really happy, beautiful, bouncing baby boy one day and just banging his head against the crib all night long the next. Gone. Forever. Can't even cross the street by himself. What's going to happen to his mother? How long does she have to take care of him? You see the sort of emotion that needs to be stirred up here? I try to be as detached as I can from these issues and make jokes about them and that kind of thing. But that's only because they hurt me on a very personal, emotional level. And I need to protect myself from it because I'm constantly exposed to it. It's the only reason why. And it's the same reason why I do the show the way I do. Because this stuff will make you depressed. Okay, and you need to get past the depression part of the grief process and get on to acceptance. Just accept it. Make a terrible pun. And then you're done, right? You've accepted the information. That's how it works. We're assured vaccines are, quote, safe and effective.
Just safe and effective.
Am I talking about acceptance while going into a ragegasm?
Yes, I am.
If I hear the words safe and effective. Oh, there is a blood vessel, I'm sure, waiting to burst. One day, all right? One day at a fluoride conference or a vaccine meeting or something or other, there'll be somebody standing up and I will have an aortic infarction, like a brain heart attack, like just ba-boom, ba-boom. Oh, the repetition. It frustrates me so.
Why, Lord? Why would the repetition?
Even though public health officials acknowledge they sometimes have serious side effects, including death. Take this, it's good for your health. What are the side effects? Death, you know. You can't make this shit up, bro. I'm not making it up. It says it right there. Oh, calm down, Vinny. You're a professional. They sometimes have serious side effects, including death. And despite the troubling fact that no long-term study of their effects on overall health has ever been conducted, remarkably, not a single published study has ever compared vaccinated to unvaccinated kids to see who's healthier years after the shots until now. a pilot study of, get this, 666 homeschooled, they've got 666 6 to 12 year olds, and that's what 6, 12 is 2 sixes and stuff like that.
Damn it! I need somebody who's fluent in like Kabbalah and numerology or something like that to be like my little wingman in the corner there. Hey, find me an obscure reference to that. Yes, boss. You know, it'd
be great. Homeschool children, 6 to 12 year olds from 4 American states, published on April 27th in the Journal of Translational Sciences, compared 261 unvaccinated children with 405 partially or fully vaccinated children, and assessed their overall health based on their mother's reports of vaccinations and physician-diagnosed illnesses. What it found about increases in immune-mediated diseases like allergies and neurodevelopmental diseases, including autism, should make all parents think twice before they ever vaccinate again. As if parents did any thinking when they vaccinated their children. No, that's actually completely unfair to say, isn't it, actually? Parents go nuts and they research whole bunches of stuff, but the problem is all the stuff that they're given by the doctor to research is BS, usually. Go to the government website, they'll tell you the truth. You mean the government that takes people's taxpayer money and gives it directly to the pharmaceutical companies? And then gets the taxpayer to come into the publicly funded hospitals and be given at a cheap rate and in some cases free pharmaceutical company stuff, which is the leading cause of death. That government's going to give you accurate information, aren't they? Vaccinated children were over fourfold more likely to be diagnosed on the autism spectrum disorder, 4.3. Vaccinated children were 30-fold more likely to be diagnosed with allergic rhinitis or hay fever than non-vaccinated children. Hay fever. Isn't that something that you've got to, like, take all the time? Oh, I've got hay fever. Imagine that. Because who sells all the hay fever medication? By chance, is it
the vaccine manufacturer?
Vaccinated children were 22-fold more likely to acquire an allergy medication than unvaccinated children. Oh, he's allergic to this, that, and the other. Yeah, oh, well, it's amazing what happens when you destroy someone's DNA and immune system by pumping heavy metals into their brain places. Okay? It's not rocket science. It's frickin' toxicology. Now, vaccinated children were over fivefold more likely to be diagnosed with a learning disability. Now, I hate to point out the obvious here, but the amount of times I've seen vaccinated people try and stand up for vaccination, it reminds me of the learning disability statistic that's associated with it. Is that cruel to say? I certainly hope so. About 5.2 times more likely if you're vaccinated to have a learning disability. Now, that's a bad one. Vaccinated children were 340% more likely to be diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder than unvaccinated children. And what do they give you if you've got that? They give you cocaine. That's right. That is what your ADHD medication is, ladies and gentlemen. It's frickin' cocaine. You're giving your kid an A-class drug, which if they crush it and snort it, they could have a hell of a time if they didn't, unfortunately, have this learning disorder. Instead, it'll just make them very, very serious and uncreative and a shadow of who they once were. Because, interestingly enough, a lot of the symptoms, not all of them, but many of them, of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which the guidance counsellors were like giving around, you know, in order to get the kids on the drugs and that kind of stuff. I saw those same symptoms on a slide at business school. And you know what they were describing? They were describing entrepreneurs. Okay? And I believe that there's a conspiracy. You know, well, this is a I don't have the evidence to substantiate it, just a theory. Just throwing it out there, just taking a stab at it. That entrepreneurs do a hell of a lot of good for society, and the New World Order does a whole lot of bad for society, including trying to make sure that entrepreneurs get drugged so that they don't continue to do good for society and instead become dependent, uncreative slaves with an addiction to crack. Right? And by that I mean the ADHD medication that a lot of people are giving their children. I wonder if anybody's ever done that, you know, just before they raise their children. Hey, I want to give them this drug and that drug. Has the parent ever gone, okay, sure, we'll give them that drug, and then actually just, on the sneaky, just take one and see what it does to them? And you go, man, I feel really paranoid. I feel sick. I feel woozy. I feel like I've got, like, slight stomach cramps and things like that. There's no way I'm giving this to my child. You know? Try it first, who knows? Just throwing that out there. Vaccinated children were 5.9-fold more likely to have been diagnosed with pneumonia than unvaccinated children, as opposed to the old pneumonia. Vaccinated children were 3.8-fold more likely to be diagnosed with middle ear infection, as opposed to outer ear infection, which is apparently a big problem in outer ear space, than unvaccinated children, or 3.8 times. Vaccinated children were 700% more likely to have had surgery to insert ear drainage tubes than unvaccinated children, or 8.1. Now, why would that be? Wouldn't be a whole bunch of brain barrier crossing, mercury preservative thimerosal crossing into the brain matter and messing up stuff around there and causing drips in the ear canals or something? I don't know. Just taking a stab in the dark. Now, this is also another interesting point here. This study can only really be done with the homeschoolers because in Australia, in some places, you have to be vaccinated in order to go to school. And it's like, dude, I didn't want to go to school. And quite frankly, if I'd, let's just say I did most of my learning in my 20s doing the show. You know, this is how I learned about the world. By talking to the people who have lived in it for a very long time and know a lot more about it than I. In many cases, but this problem that we have here has an interesting connection, and you know how everybody brings up this,
oh, it's a Nazi Germany connection.
Who were the first group of people to have legislation passing through the Third Reich limiting their freedoms? Homeschoolers. Who were the last people to lose their rights by legislation in the Third Reich? Gun owners. All right, first, the state needs to indoctrinate your children, okay, essentially, because they're the next generation. You only need to indoctrinate one to two or three generations, and then, boom, they'll never know any different for the rest of their existence. The rest of the existence of humanity won't know anything different than what the government and television tells them so. That's why I am broke, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I have to really, really get up early, sometimes even though I want to sleep in, and have a coffee and just sit down on the computer and start working, you know, sharing stuff and commenting on things and editing stuff and posting things. It's just, it's a constant struggle. And it's frickin' breaking me. You know? There's so much frickin' scumbaggery, and I've taken so much responsibility for trying to expose it, that I'm dying inside. I hate my life. I hate my job. I don't want to be here, you know, talking about scumbaggery and reading out stuff and interviewing people or whatever. I don't want to do it. I never did. And it's just so hard because I don't really have a choice. Get a panic attack if I even have the prospect of getting gainful employment. You know? But the problem is people don't appreciate it enough. You know, they're like, oh, you're trying to save the human race, are you? Oh, you're giving people access to all this for free, are you? Oh, you're putting in 14-hour days, 7 days a week, are you? Oh, okay. That's not worth giving you a dollar. Let alone a dollar a month. That's not worth anything. It's not even worth liking the video. It's not even worth sharing the article. It's not even worth listening to the things that are said on it by all these interesting guests from all the over the spectrum. You know, just people just don't care. You know, that's the feeling I get sometimes. That I'm sitting here doing all this work, really just killing myself. You know? Both outwardly and inwardly and spiritually, taking on all this trauma and looking at all this evil, trying to understand it and bury my head into it. And people don't appreciate it, you know? A lot of people do, but not enough to do anything to help me, you know? Really help me by sharing around the articles and things like that. It takes so long to share them around. And I just have to do it all myself, more or less. It's a really sad thing. I wish people would support me more, but times are tight. New World Order's got everybody by the throat, don't they? Sorry, folks. Just had a really bad day today. Homeschooler versus homeschooler. The trouble with doing a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study a century or so after it should have been done is that virtually all American children are vaccinated today. When 95% of children get injections, there are few controls left for study long-term outcomes. Comparing American children at large to small pockets of unvaccinated children like those in the Amish community is revealing. But critics say they are comparing apples to oranges. There are too many other variables, diet, fresh air, computer time, for example, that might explain differences in health besides vaccination status. Well, as I was saying, the collective amount of things that we have in our environment that are designed to corrupt and destroy our children. Man. You can see the agenda that's been put up there to make people afraid of having children now, afraid of reproducing. Like, if you're someone who can think with a conscience, I think you've got a moral obligation to reproduce, you know, and raise your kid right. And because we need more of those kids around. There's so many people who just go along with the status quo. And when their kid comes home, they go, oh, that was nice that you learned that, Jason, about how vaccination's so good for you and everything. You're going to get your 56th one soon. Dude, it's getting bad out there. You know, people are reasonable. If they've been given... I know you're jumping on me right there. Yeah, people are reasonable. It's just, if you give them the truth, both sides of it, you know, and you ask them to make a decision based upon real information, real truth, right? It's surprisingly enough, people often make the right choice, provided they understand the choice that they're given. But a lot of the time, it's mostly sales and PR and BS. Isn't it interesting how similar PR is to BS? I didn't even think about that. So, Anthony Mawson, a professor in the Department of Epidemiology and Biostatistics, that's the study of epis, in the School of Public Health, Jackson State University, along with colleagues Azad Boyan, which also got fantastic with hummus, and Beano Jacob, collaborated with Brian D. Ray, president of the National Home Education Research Institute in Salem, or to engage and enroll homeschooling families to participate in the study. In this way, homeschoolers were compared to homeschoolers, apples to apples, but with the added advantage that homeschoolers as a population match the profiles of American families at large. The families who respond to the anonymous online survey were recruited through homeschooling associations in Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Oregon. The disease trade. Both vaccinated and unvaccinated children in the study got sick sometimes, as expected. Vaccinated children were less likely to have some infections they were vaccinated against. They were significantly less likely to have had chickenpox, odds ratio 0.26, and whooping cough, or pertussis, at 0.3. However, in spite of public health hysteria over outbreaks of measles at Disneyland and mumps resurgence, there was no evidence that vaccinated children were any more protected against these so-called vaccine-preventable diseases. That's because the vaccines never got rid of the diseases. It was this thing called sanitation. I know, radical thing to say, that waterborne diseases stopped getting people killed after we started cleaning our water. Radical theory!
I know!
Children in both groups had about the same rates of infection with measles, mumps, hepatitis A and B, influenza, rotavirus, and meningitis, both viral and bacterial. Sounds like great song lyrics. I got my measles, mumps, hepatitis A and B, influenza, rotavirus, meningitis. Dun, 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 dun. I could go under a rap on that one. It'd be fantastic. Unvaccinated children in the study were actually better protected against some vaccine-preventable diseases than children who got the shots, namely because the children who got the shots had the disease in it to be exposed to
immediately.
And it won't be the same strain as any of the ones that they might encounter out in the wild, so to speak. So they don't really protect you against anything, and they've never put a guarantee within any of their packaging to say it will frickin' work. No, they haven't. Since 2000, the CDC has recommended 4 shots against different strains of pneumococcal? Man. It sounds like a really interesting pair of maracas, you know? What are those, bros? Oh, they're my pneumococcals. Ch-ch. I cracked me up. Infections before age 15 months. That's 13 strains since 2010. But vaccinated children in the study were 490% more likely to be diagnosed with pneumonia compared to unvaccinated children. Brain drain. So what is the cost for this weak vaccine protection against chickenpox and pertussis? The link between autism and vaccination is the biggest tornado in the vaccine storm. Autism has soared from a rare disorder to something affecting a child in every other classroom. In the 80s, it struck 1 in 10,000 children. By the early 1990s, 1 in 2,500. 5 years ago, 1 in 88... was diagnosed as autistic, and today it is 1 in 68. In the homeschooler study, the risk of being diagnosed on the autistic spectrum disorder was over 4-fold higher among vaccinated children than unvaccinated children. And also there's a link with the antibiotics as well. So let's say you get your children vaccinated, right? Before they've had their measles, mumps, and rubella round, you get them vaccinated. Then they get sick from that. And then you go to the doctor because your kid is sick and you're worried about them. And he gives them antibiotics, which compromises their immune system. And then they give them the measles, mumps, and rubella. And then, ba-boom, you got autism. Not to put it unsensitively, but that's kind of what the show is about. We do not know all of the causes of ASD. That's autistic spectrum disorder, to those of you who speak English. The Centers for Disease Control says, which avoids saying they haven't identified any cause for it or any treatment. They still quote a 2004 pediatric study claiming to refute a link between autism and vaccines, even though one of its authors, their own top scientist William Thompson, has admitted that he and his colleagues colluded to obscure and then shred data. He kept copies, which showed a link between autism and the MMR vaccine. Oh my god, I can't believe we did what we did, because at some points in the studies, I think if you're a certain age or a certain race or whatever, you're basically 7 times more likely than, say, a different kid to get autism at a certain time, right? Pretty astounding stuff, and they didn't want that to go out over the airwaves. And the CDC has a whole bunch of people running it that, funnily enough, wind up getting jobs at massive pharmaceutical companies, both after and before being working at the CDC, which incidentally just kind of rubber stamps all their bollocks drugs that they pawn off on people and damage their kids. There's some connection there. It's inexplicable. Oh my god, I can't believe what we did, Thompson confessed in one taped telephone chat to Brian Hooker, a bioengineer professor at Simpson University and the father of an autistic child. The Thompson whistleblower case is the basis of the 2016 documentary Vaxxed, From Cover-Up to Catastrophe, by Andrew Wakefield, the gastroenterologist, who, among the first to suggest a possible link between the MMR vaccine and autism in the late 90s, and who has become a symbol of how the system deals with dissenters. It's the film the CDC does not want anyone to see. The CDC does not want you to see. The CDC always also fails to mention that the federal government has been forced to acknowledge vaccination's role in inducing autism. Sorry, give me 2 seconds here. Composure. Professional the fuck. And has awarded compensation to some parents of damaged children. Other courts have recognised the connection between autism and vaccination too. Like when overnight they radically shift personality, and radical personality shifts happen to be on the vaccine insert sheet as a known side effect, and they just connected that dot right there. Within hours of getting this thing that said it might do this thing happened, and it must be genetic. It walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it must be a giraffe, a rhinoceros. It's got to be a hippopotamus, bro. Like, no. Couldn't possibly be a duck. It's got feathers, it's got a bill, it's got webbed feet. That doesn't scream duck to me. The CDC also fails to mention that the federal government has been forced to acknowledge vaccination's role in inducing autism and has awarded compensation to some parents of damaged children through those vaccine courts. Other courts have recognised the connection between autism and vaccination too. Besides that, there are thousands of parents the courts and federal government pretend don't exist, who all tell the same story over and over, that they watch their children regress into autism following vaccination.
Yes!
Brain and nervous, and I also want to talk about the really nasty people. Like, what was it? Somebody insulted somebody who was anti-vaccination because their child became autistic, whatever, and then said something along the lines of, "Well, with that attitude, no wonder your child became autistic." And you're like, your jaw drops, and you're like, "What a psychopath, man! Just wanting to do it just to get a reaction out of you, so that they can use your reaction to demonize you in the media," which. They do. They can and do use it against you. It's like cops, It doesn't matter what you say. Oh, I didn't do it or whatever. They'll use whatever you say against you. It's pretty nasty like that. I'm not saying cops are all psychopathic, just most of them. Brain and nervous system damage from vaccines is nothing new. Crippling and potentially blinding acute disseminated encephalitis. Man. Try saying that 76 times fast. For example, which causes MRI visible white spots in the brain and can progress to multiple sclerosis, and that's way worse than singular sclerosis as far as I know, has been described in the medical literature for decades and is a documented side effect of virtually every vaccine. Narcolepsy and Guillain-Barré syndrome. Are other examples. So what role might vaccines have in subtler brain damage? Now, subtle brain damage. Now, this is an interesting thing. If you had an IQ of 131 and you had a vaccine and it had an effect on your brain, small effect on your brain, but still an effect, and your IQ got reduced to, say, 128, but you didn't have an IQ test after that or something like that, how would you know? How would you know if you're dumber? Right? You wouldn't, would you? Principally because you're dumber, but anyway, don't ask the CDC because they've never looked. See, and I love this. This is actually a number one thing when you're dealing with any kind of thing that has an alleged conspiracy relating to it, is that they'll point you to evidence that doesn't exist. And they'll say, oh, we can do this or whatever. But the quickest route to explaining something very simply is not the route they usually take to answer your question with. That's a sign that they're beating around the bush and hence are full of crap. But the JSU study found the odds for vaccinated children having a learning disability were over fivefold that of unvaccinated children, or 5.2, over full fourfold for attention hyperactivity disorder, 4.3, and over threefold for any neurodevelopmental disorder, i.e. impairment of growth and development of the brain or central nervous system associated with a diagnosis of a learning disability, ADHD, and or ASD, that's autistic spectrum disorder. Mercury, aluminium, and everything nice. Oh, no, it says, and what else? Vaccine ingredients unknown to cause brain damage. Hey, would you like some of the most toxic heavy metals in the world injected into you? In fact, this reminds me of something very, very funny. I misquoted one time, and I said that mercury is the most toxic the worst neurotoxin known to man. And this pro-vax-like says, no, it's only the second most toxic neuropoison known to man. As if that made it so much better. He's got too much of that mercury in his brain places, I know it. Vaccine ingredients are known to cause brain damage. Robert Kennedy Jr. has been highlighting the dangers of mercury as thimerosal is used as a preservative in vaccines and its relationship to autism and Mad Hatter disorder because they had autism in the hats and the hatters started going mad, hence the Mad Hatter. It's almost like people who get vaccines are never schooled about the reasons why Mad Hatters are Mad Hatters. Aluminium is another well-documented neurotoxin added to vaccines. Neurotoxin, that's the word I was looking for and fumbling with. Added to vaccines as an adjuvant. Now, adjuvant, oh, you hear the word adjuvant, you're going to freak out, mate. You know, it's like Gulf War Syndrome type stuff. To evoke an immune system response. Oh, you're going to force your immune system to attack something that may or may not even be there. That can't possibly cause an autoimmune disorder. Recent research has thrown everything scientists used to say about it, and the CDC still does, in the bin. Aluminium is not excreted from the body within hours or days, but persists for years and can migrate to organs including lymph, spleen, and brain. Aluminium in vaccines has been implicated in chronic fatigue syndrome, macrophagic myofasciitis. Myofasciitis? It sounds like it would go really good with salami and some feta cheese. Would you like some myofasciitis? Well, thank you, Andre. Thank you. In numerous autoimmune diseases, Alzheimer's disease, in sudden deaths following vaccination, and in autism. The FDA does not deny its toxicity, and they go, we don't deny it, but we don't confirm it either, I imagine. Just that there is enough aluminium toxin in vaccines to cause harm, but it calculates risk based on oral exposure. Even so, it describes memory impairment in lab mice and very young animals, which appeared weaker and less active and less coordinated when their mothers were exposed to large amounts of aluminium during pregnancy and while nursing. Injected exposure can hardly be safer. It should be obvious that the route of exposure, which bypasses the protective barriers of the gastrointestinal tract and or the skin, will likely require a much lower dose to produce a toxic outcome, says a 2014 review, implicating aluminium in the autistic in the autism epidemic, an autistic epidemic. Besides toxic metals like aluminium and mercury, vaccines may contain contaminants from DNA, from human aborted fetus cells, animal DNA, and retroviruses, those were viruses that they had in the 70s, and a host of debris and material contaminants that are not measured by oversight agencies and whose health effects may have never been studied. Would you like to ingest this into your child? Oh yeah? Has it been studied? Nah. Has it been tested? Nah. Been proven to work? Nah. Has it got dangerous stuff in it? Yep. Is there any protection against you predatorily giving that to me and damaging my child and me being able to sue you back for doing it? Nah. All right, let's go right ahead with it then. What's the worst that could happen? Man, this article's very, very long. I'll see if I can get through with it. I've only got like a couple of minutes left in the broadcast, really. Well, on we proceed then. The ear infection connection. Sounds like a great movie, The Ear Infection Connection. Like a weekend in Venice. Vaccinated children in the study were nearly fourfold more likely than unvaccinated children in the study to have had a doctor-diagnosed ear infection, or 3.8, and were 700% more likely to have had had surgery to insert ear drainage tubes for repeat or persistent infections, 8.0. Acute ear infections have increased worldwide in recent decades. I wonder if it's because everybody's wearing headphones. I might be due for an ear infection myself. And it's so common that they are almost unremarkable now. They affect 80% of American children by age 3, another leading reason for child doctor's visits, antibiotic use, and the number one pediatric surgical procedure, insertion of plastic tubes in the ears. Childhood ear infections cost the healthcare system almost $3 billion a year. Probably a lot more if you take in the global system. The study points to reports of middle ear infection filed with the government's Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, the VAERS. Have a very vague role. A VAERS database search for children younger than 1 year of age who developed otitis media within 1 week of vaccination. And otitis media, you know, they do good reporting over there. Revealed 438,573 cases reported between 1990 and 2011, often with fever and other signs and symptoms of inflammation and central nervous system involvement. I always suspected there was central nervous system involvement. If that was the reported number for children under a year old within 1 week, how many children of all ages get common ear infections following vaccination? No one knows, because when you don't look, you don't find. As a possible mechanism for vaccine, messed up microbiomes. And go good on a pizza. As a possible mechanism for vaccine-induced ear infection, study authors Mawson and colleagues... I hear that Mawson's awesome. And cite a 2006 study that looked at the types of bacteria in the nasal passages of children immunised with pneumococcal. Pneumococcal. And it sounds like something that'd go good with bongo drums, actually. Like the pneumococcal bongo drums? Not funny? No? Okay. Historical controls. Kids from the pre-PCV7 era. I'm very tired of reading this. And found an increased colonization of a bacteria called M. catarrhalis. M. catarrhalis? M. catarrhalis. Sounds like a smooth operator. In the vaccinated group. M. catarrhalis, it turns out, is associated with an increased risk of ear infection. No surprise then that vaccinated children in the study were over twofold more likely to have taken antibiotics, and they were also hospitalized more often. Broad-spectrum antibiotics like those frequently used for ear infections, like napalm on the microbiome. they may wipe out bugs that cause ear infections, but they affect many other microbes as well, shifting microbiome composition in ways that science is only beginning to understand how profoundly this impacts health. New research links microbiome shifts to a growing list of diseases from irritable bowel syndrome, obesity, Crohn's disease, that's the one that turns you into a haggard old lady, diabetes and multiple sclerosis, to mood disorders such as anxiety and depression, mental illness such as schizophrenia and autism. Now, there's a big link between the mental disorders and the vaccines as well. And in fact, we brought that up with who was it? I think it was Trisha Chiels from Vaxxed who brought that up in a meeting with the Health Minister, Jonathan Coleman, who, of course, not only did not deny a link, but he didn't admit one either and just kind of danced around the question and didn't answer it. Just the scumbaggery of these people. It's frickin' horrendous, isn't it? From constant dawn until dusk, they just ooze scumbaggery. It's horrible. And you have to deal with them. And they're running the country into the ground, as they do. It's kind of their thing. But I think maybe there's a good chance that vaccination and chemtrails and fluoride, the people who have been putting in the time and the effort to sort of expose these sort of issues, are really starting to experience a resurgence right about now. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's just the circles that I revolve in. Maybe I'm part of a disclosed echo chamber. But I feel like, in some way, shape, or form, that we're getting some progress going on these areas. Frickin' finally. You know? A vax versus unvax study? Who would have thunk it? I mean, we got New Zealand wanting to forcibly put fluoride into the water with fluoride that is not pharmaceutical grade. So, good luck, everybody who isn't allergic to, who is allergic to, what, cadmium, lead, arsenic, you know? Oh, I'm allergic to arsenic. Everybody has, bro. It's called contamination. And that's what happens when you don't have pharmaceutical-grade fluoride. But if you do have pharmaceutical-grade fluoride, it's just as bad for you anyway. So it just... the scumbaggery. Always. Constant. Never-ending. It is beyond measure. And beyond comprehension. And I understand that we've been fighting these wars and dealing with these people and psychopaths and scumbaggery for quite some time, and it does wear on you, I know. And people try to tune into the show because it cheers them up and, you know, have a few jokes in here and there, and maybe I've been a bit depressing today because it's just real tough, mate. You ever noticed that when it rains a lot and it just doesn't let up, you don't really get any sun, and it's just difficult to survive in some ways. You realize that, hey, man, I actually have to put up with a lot of crap all day, every day, all the time. And it's just difficult to keep surviving sometimes, isn't it? And are you all going through the same thing? So I do hope that we can band together and get behind me and support me. Go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Go to americanfreedomradio.com. Give us each a dollar a month or something like that. Or at the very least, go to our Patreon pages and just follow us on there so that there's more videos and more shows and all sorts of things that we can actually put out there for you if you just support us just a little bit. That's all we ask. We are trying to save humanity. Maybe that's worth supporting. I should think so. Thank you very much for those of you who do donate. It's you're champions of mankind. You really are good people. Thank you so much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question in Eastwood. Like, go ahead, make my news. We'll see you again sometime, folks.